of Ezekiel chapter 3. Ezekiel chapter 3, as you're turning there, a bunch of second grade school kids were asked the following questions. It was under a title, Why Did God Make Moms? So the answer to their questions, some of the answers were this: Why did God make mothers? First of all, she's the only one who knows where the scotch tape is. Second answer was mostly to clean the house, and the third one was to help us out of there when we were getting born. Another question was asked of these second graders: Why did God give you your mother and not some other mother? One kid says, because we're related. And another one said, God knew she likes me a lot more than other people's moms would like me. What kind of a little girl was your mom? My mom has always been my mom and none of that other stuff. Another one says, I don't know because I wasn't there, but my guess is she'd been pretty bossy. Another one said, they say she used to be nice. Another question, why did your mom marry your dad? One kid says, my dad makes the best spaghetti in the world and my mom eats a lot. Another one said she got too old to do anything else with him. And another one, my grandma says that mom didn't have her thinking cap on. What would it take to make your mom perfect? One kid says, on the inside, she's already perfect. Outside, I think some kind of plastic surgery. Another second grader said, diet. You know, her hair. I dye it. Maybe blue. If you could change one thing about your mom, what would it be? One child says, she has this weird thing about me keeping my room clean. I'd get rid of that. Another one says, I'd make my mom smarter. Then she'd know that it was my sister who did it, not me. And the last one says, I'd like for her to get rid of those invisible eyes on the back of her head. Tonight, we want to continue to celebrate moms, and today our mothers were hopefully showered with gifts or some expressions of love. And we talked about this morning some gifts that we can give to mom. First of all, the gift of a clean kid, meaning a child that has accepted Christ as Savior, and a saved child then that is living right. And then the gift of a kid who smells good, whose life is a sweet aroma to God. Now remember, as we said this morning, that when we talk about it being a kid, that means kids of all ages. That doesn't mean just a child. That doesn't mean somebody 18 years of age or under. That's something that's applied to all kids. So, Ezekiel chapter 3, the third thing that we want to give mom is the gift of eating right. In Ezekiel chapter 3, verse 1, moreover, he said unto me, Son of man, eat that thou findest. Eat this roll, and go speak unto the house of Israel. So I opened my mouth, and he caused me to eat that roll. And he said unto me, Son of man, cause thy belly to eat, and fill thy bowels with this roll that I give thee. Then did I eat, and it was in my mouth as honey for sweetness. Go to the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 15 and verse 16. In Jeremiah chapter 15 and verse 16, we have these words. Thy words were found, and I did eat them. And thy word was unto me the joy and the rejoicing of mine heart. For I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. The gift of eating right. Mothers are kind of fussy about what their kids eat. You will not typically find a dad standing in a grocery store. Well, I could put a period right there, right? But you won't typically find a dad standing in a grocery store reading the labels. That's a mom thing. If a dad ventures into a grocery store, it's kind of like, oh, let's just take that. Grabs it off the shelf, puts it in the cart, and away they go. The commercials on TV are stereotypical, but I think they're right. Some mothers will say things like this, I don't want my kid eating high fructose corn syrup. I don't want them eating things that have ingredients with names I can't pronounce. Does a guy ever say that? Not typically. But that is definitely a mom thing. One time when the girls were growing up, my wife wasn't at home at breakfast time. And so it was dad's job to fix breakfast. And I think you'd be proud of me because I fixed them vegetables and they had milk to drink. Now, that milk was in the form of ice cream. And so we enjoyed that. And you say, well, where do the vegetables fit in? Well, I can't remember if it was chocolate or vanilla, but you do know that chocolate and vanilla come from a bean. And I looked it up, and a bean fits into a vegetable category. So I was able to feed them milk. You would have gave them milk, and you would have given them also vegetables. I did that. And I think there was some cake left over. And so we had some cake. Now, before you throw something at me and say, how could you? How many of you would have fed your kids a pancake? Okay. This was just a different kind of cake. But if you can feed them a pancake, I can do chocolate cake. Works for me, right? Well, my wife didn't seem to see the agree with that. Didn't think that was a good thing. Why? Because moms are a little bit fussy about that stuff. We need to give moms the gift of a kid who will eat right, a kid that'll clean their plate, a kid that will not complain about what's set before them, and a kid that won't put their broccoli in their napkin and throw it away and make believe that they actually ate it or slip it to the dog under the table. If this is a gift that we can give to mom, how much more of a gift is this that we can give to the Lord? The Lord wants us to eat right. Those verses that we saw in Ezekiel and in Jeremiah are talking about the Word of God and that we are to eat that Word. We are to ingest the Scriptures. Turn with me to Psalm 34. Psalm chapter 34, and look with me at verse 8. The Bible tells us here, O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in Him. Taste and see that the Lord is good. We are supposed to have a good biblical appetite. And that is something that is going to make a godly Christian mom happy, to have a child that hungers for the Word of God. You know, many times a child comes up to a parent and says, Mom, Dad, can I have? And then they'll give them something, some sort of a thing that they want. Usually it's something that a friend has. It's something that they just know would make their life so much better. But wouldn't it be neat if a child comes up to their parent and says, Mom, can I have a new Bible? Mom, I need a new devotional book. Mom, I need something that I could get that would just help me to grow in the Lord. Do you suppose that mom is going to, we're talking a Christian mom, do you suppose that Christian mom is going to do everything in their power to get that for that child? It's because they want their child to eat right. And they know that by getting those kinds of things, and if a child is requesting that, that is a good sign that the child wants to eat right. Just stop and think about in Acts chapter 17, the Berean Christians. It says in Acts 17:11, these were more noble than those in Thessalonica in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the Scriptures daily whether those things were so. Some interesting phrases there. They received the word with all readiness of mind. The wording there literally means they rolled out the welcome mat. They rolled out the welcome mat. They were excited. They were inviting. They wanted the word. It wasn't something that they put up with and they tolerated once a week. They wanted it. They invited it in. But the Bible also says that they searched the Scriptures daily. They were in the Word themselves, and they weren't just sitting there like a sponge taking in what was said. They were going back and checking that. And you know, one of the greatest compliments that you could possibly give, or the thing that would encourage a Sunday school teacher, your pastor, more than anything else, is for you to take notes during the service and go home during the week to see whether or not those things were so. Listen, do not believe what comes out of the mouth of your Sunday school teacher. Don't believe what comes out of my mouth. You check it out yourself. You go to the Scriptures on your own and you make sure it's right. Now, I don't believe for one second, not for one second, not the least little bit, that we have a Sunday school teacher that would teach anything intentionally wrong. And I certainly would never do that. But you know what? We're human beings. We are not perfect. And so it is your responsibility to search the Scriptures daily to see whether or not those things were so. So many people today get themselves into a mess because they just swallow up because so-and-so said it. Oh, that's got to be truth. They would never lead me astray. I'll just, you know, that's like a fish on a hook. It's like, no. See whether or not those things are so. Check it out. That is our biblical right and a responsibility and obligation. give the gift to mom that you want to eat right. Show her that as a Christian kid, you hunger and thirst for the Word of God. How about this next one? The gift of doing our chores. The gift of doing our chores. How many of our kids here have chores at home? Oh, awesome. Isn't that great? That's great that they have chores at home. When we look at our homes, there's always work to be done inside and out. And moms are the ones that are always fussing about, you know, you need to clean your room, pick up your toys, put away your clothes, carry dirty laundry downstairs, put it in the laundry room, dust furniture, run the vacuum, take the dog out, clean up after it, help with the yard work or whatever the chores might be. Maybe the kids say, well, Jimmy next door doesn't have any chores. I wish I was Jimmy. You know what? Instead of wishing you was Jimmy, you ought to feel sorry for Jimmy, that his parents have not given him any chores to do. Two Harvard researchers, Dr. George Valiant and his wife Carolyn, report that success in adulthood is more related to a child's capacity to work than to his intelligence, social status, or family background. The professors, the doctors, discovered that those who worked hardest as children developed into the best paid and the most satisfied. Their work as youngsters had usually consisted of household chores, part-time jobs, sports and studies. The least hardworking as youths later encountered more unemployment and unhappiness, as well as a higher death rate. What a gift it would be to mom if mom didn't have to ride you to do your chores. Amen? What a neat gift. Turn to Ephesians chapter 2. And what a gift it would be to the Lord if He didn't have to write us to do our chores. You say, what do you mean do our chores? Well, in the book of Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, and we can quote verses 8 and 9 because we've used them frequently. Verses 8 and 9 say, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. We are not saved by good works, but we are saved to do good works. Once we have accepted Christ as Savior, the Lord has a job for us to do. You have chores to do at home because you're a part of a family. We are part of the family of God, and God has work for us to do. Skip over just a couple of pages to Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 and 12. In Ephesians 4, verses 11 and 12, and He gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, the work of the ministry. 1 Corinthians 3, 9 says, for we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. If you are a member of First Baptist Church, you have a responsibility to your church to help out around the house, so to speak. Every one of us has something that the Lord wants us to do. And I believe that there is sufficient biblical evidence to support being a member of a church and not just an attender. Several years ago, Dr. John MacArthur was preaching on the local church, and he notices the trend that's going on in contemporary society, that more and more church membership, it's not happening. People don't see any need for it. They don't have a desire for it. They just kind of want to show up, drift in and drift out, and make an anonymous appearance and just kind of fly below the radar. He writes this. He says this. He said that there is a very low emphasis these days on the importance and the value of church membership and involvement. And the trend bucks the example of Scripture. In the lengthy series of messages that he did, he demonstrated how the New Testament, in quotes here, clearly indicates that the believers were saved, baptized, assembled, and gathered in recognizable groups. Their names were put on some sort of a list. They were identified as the flock, and the shepherds knew who they were. And when they moved from one place to another, some letter went along with them in order that a transfer might be effected into another local assembly of believers. There was never the assumption that some believer would be floating around loose all by himself. It is a gift to mom if you are an eager participant in the family, if you eagerly do the chores that are necessary to help maintain and run the household. And what an encouragement it is to the Lord, what a gift it is to the Lord when His children want to be active and busy in the work. Now, one more gift that we can give to mom, and it's the gift of good manners. the gift of good manners. Moms are really uptight about this one as well. Yeah, and it sounds like moms are uptight about a lot of things, doesn't it? But really, I mean, think about this. They expect please and thank you all the time. And if you miss it just once, sometimes they don't even give you an opportunity to breathe. They'll look at you and say, and what do you say? I was getting to that. But they don't give you the chance. They want that meant just immediate. Elbows are not allowed on the table. Bodily eruptions are absolutely forbidden. And if they should happen, it had better be an accident, and it had better be quickly followed up with an apologetic excuse me, and must never be done for entertainment purposes. Belching is not a talent, and polite people just don't sound off like a foghorn. Why are moms like that? Are they just too girly that they don't appreciate the finer things of life? Do they not see talent in the making? You know, when the kid does that, what do our dads say? That's my kid. That's my kid. And what's mom doing? She's holding back the tears, shaking her head in embarrassment, saying, where did I fail? Where did I go wrong? Here's the bottom line. If we cannot mind our manners in the small things, we won't mind our manners in the big things. And so I think that's probably why moms are so fastidious about being on top of it, you know, making sure that those manners are followed. And sometimes moms even have to train the dads, don't they, dads? There you go. That's at least honest. Sometimes moms have to look at dad and say, you know, you're setting a bad example when you do that. And so dads, you know, all of a sudden dad was comfortable at the table, you know, just slouching and all that kind of stuff. Mom's saying, yep, you know, giving you one of those kind of gestures. And then once dad straightens up, then she can chew the kids out. So manners, good manners. Turn to 2 Thessalonians 3. You know, the Lord is interested in our manners as well, but it comes from a little bit of a different perspective. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 6 and 7. The Bible says here, now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw yourself from every brother that walketh disorderly, and not after the tradition which he received of us. For yourselves know how ye ought to follow us, for we behaved not ourselves disorderly among you. Go to 1 Timothy, just the next book of the Bible, 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. Paul says to Timothy, but if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of truth. Granted, these verses are talking about a whole lot more than table manners. But shouldn't the Christian be the epitome of good graces and good manners and just wherever they go, behaving themselves? Shouldn't people look at Christians and see well-behaved individuals? You know, a lot of you went out to eat for Mother's Day today. Did you see people, and maybe it could have been adults, but probably some younger kids that were not very well-behaved? You go into Walmart, and that's what you'll see all the time there, right? You see those who are misbehaving. Isn't it amazing when you see those that do behave? And you go into a restaurant and you see maybe a table that has a dozen kids around it. And those kids are just excellent behavior out of them. And how many times have we gone up to those parents? We have said, couldn't help but notice. You've done a wonderful job with those kids. They are excellent. And the parents thank you for it. They appreciate it. You know, the Lord expects His children to behave themselves. What a gift it is to mom if we practice good manners. But what a gift it is to God if God sees His children behaving themselves. You say, well, what does that mean, behaving ourselves? Well, behaving ourselves in the house of the Lord. What does that mean? You say, well, that means don't run in church. That means, you know, don't eat and drink in the sanctuary. Okay, those are good things not to do. But behaving in the house of the Lord means how we interact with one another. and how we interact with God. Did you stop to think about coming to church today and the fact that we are interacting with God? You say, well, I did that all week. Yeah, but this is in a different situation. We have come to corporately worship the Lord. We have come to corporately interact with God. Did we behave ourselves? Did we behave ourselves with one another? Have we been loving and kind and gracious and shown support and love and all that for our brothers and sisters in Christ? Did we behave ourselves? Did God look down on His house today and see His children and say, wow, my kids are behaving themselves very well? What parent doesn't love, and especially if you had a large family, what parent doesn't love to see all the kids getting along? You know, no bickering, no fighting, no fussing and feuding, no petty arguments and stuff like that. Just getting along. Isn't that every parent's hope and dream? And if they actually see that, that just melts their heart, doesn't it? Think how it must melt God's heart if He can look down upon His house, upon His church, and see His children getting along, behaving themselves one with another. These are awesome gifts that we can very easily give. Being clean, making sure that we know Jesus Christ as Savior and that our sins are confessed. Smelling good, living a life that's right and pleasing to the Lord. Eating right, spending time in God's Word. Doing our chores, doing the work of the Lord. Using good manners, comporting ourselves as a Christian ought to. If we haven't been giving these gifts to the Lord, we need to start tonight. And it begins with ourselves. Tonight, can you say that you know Jesus as Savior? Can you say that beyond any shadow of a doubt? Do you know that for certain? Has there come that point in time in your life where you've trusted the Lord as Savior? If not, tonight needs to be the night that you would call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. We would love to have the opportunity to take you aside and introduce you to the Lord Jesus Christ. A Christian, tonight, can we say that we're living the life that we ought to live, giving God the gifts that He well deserves? The Christian moms here tonight, kids, you give those gifts to a Christian mom, they're going to appreciate that. Let's stand together with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Our Heavenly Father, tonight, as you look across the auditorium and you see the heart of every person here, we pray that this might be a night that if there are decisions needing to be made, that the Spirit of God would have freedom to work. Have your way in this invitation, we ask in Jesus' name. And as our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed tonight, if the Lord is dealing with you in some way, I'll be at the front to meet you. Others will walk with you. But come tonight as they play.